The next morning, when the missus did not appear in the kitchen, it was I who went to wake her. She could not be woken. Her soul had departed through the hole in the roof. And she was gone. "We've lost her," I told John in the kitchen. "She's dead." His face didn't change. He continued to stare across the kitchen table as though he hadn't heard me. "Yes," he said eventually, in a voice that did not expect to be heard. "Yes." It felt as if everything had come to an end. I had only one wish: to sit like John, immobile, staring into space and doing nothing. Yet time did not stop. I could still feel my heartbeat measuring out the seconds. I could feel hunger growing in my stomach and thirst in my throat. I was so sad. I thought I would die. Yet instead, I was scandalously and absurdly alive. So alive, I swear I could feel my hair and my fingernails growing. For all the unbearable weight on my heart, I could not, like John, give myself up to the misery. Hester was gone. Charlie was gone. The missus was gone. John, in his own way, was gone, though I hoped he would find his way back. In the meantime, the girl in the mist was going to have to come out of the shadows. It was time to stop playing and grow up. "I'll put the kettle on then," I said. "Make a cup of tea." My voice was not my own. Some other girl, some sensible, capable, ordinary girl, had found her way into my skin and taken me over. She seemed to know just what to do. I was only partly surprised. Hadn't I spent half my life watching people live their lives? I settled quietly inside myself while the capable girl boiled the kettle, measured out the tea leaves, stirred and poured. She put 2 sugars in John's tea, 3 in mine. When it was made, I drank it, and as the hot, sweet tea reached my stomach, at last, I stopped trembling.